We have made our way towards the end of the Sermon on the Mount. It is important because it is the first public declaration that Yahusha made. Yahusha is the actual name of the person that Christians have been beguiled into believing is Jesus. Jesus is a name that was conceived to isolate Yahusha from his Hebrew roots, from the Torah, from Yahweh, from Yisrael, from all things that were despised in Rome and Greece, which happened to be the basis for Yahusha. He not only was this his first public declaration, it was the largest public declaration he ever made. Nothing that he ever did compares in terms of scope of message or size of audience to what's called the Sermon on the Mount. And it wasn't, by the way, a sermon. It was just instruction on the Mount. And what's so interesting about it is that everything that he had to say destroys the religion that was later conceived to be in association with him. I mean, if you read what he had to say, if you think about what he had to say, that day, standing before the world, you can't be a Christian. This particular statement is one of the reasons why, and there are so many of them in the midst of the instruction on the Mount, that preclude any informed person, any rational person, from being a Christian. Yahusha said, and then I will profess to them. These are the people that were calling him Lord that he says are excluded from heaven. These are the people who even when he said, you're excluded from heaven because no one calling me Lord is going to be included in heaven. And he said that not just because his name is important, not just because his father's name is vastly more important, not just because if you don't acknowledge the father's will and engage in the covenant, you're not entering into heaven. He didn't just say it because the name Lord is Satan's title. If you know so little about him, if you've been beguiled and you have a relationship with a wholly artificial, disjointed, uprooted, disconnected view of him, then you don't know him. And if you don't know him, you aren't engaged in the covenant relationship. And if you're not engaged in the covenant relationship, you're not welcome in heaven. No one is saved apart from the covenant. And there's only one of them. No one is saved apart from the covenant. If you're not part of the covenant family, you cannot enter heaven. You cannot be saved. So, it was the realization that by not having any clue as to who he was or what he was doing or who he belonged to or who he was representing, what he was representing, is the reason why when they came back and they said, but Lord, Lord, didn't we do all these marvelous things in your name? You know, drove out demons. We uttered inspired revelations. We built all these marvelous institutions. And he says, no. No. I will profess to them because I never knew you. You must depart from me, those who are Torahless. That's really striking. Because there isn't a Christian on the planet that is embraces the Torah, not one. And, you know, I understand that the translations will take nomia here, which is based on nomos, and they will translate it, not translate it, they will change it to law every time that Paul is assailing the Torah. Every time that Paul writes something mean about the Torah, they'll change nomos to law, when in fact it is a translation of Torah. And in this particular case, because they realize that Pauline doctrine is based entirely on annulling and the Torah and distancing oneself from the Torah, that the moment Yahusha said, if you're without the Torah, get away from me because I don't know you, their religion is shot. It's destroyed. And so they'll change this nomia here from nomos to lawlessness. Those of you who are disreputable, those of you who violate the standard, they'll say anything to keep from acknowledging that the criterion from by which Yahusha is making this distinction and saying, I don't know you, and I want nothing to do with you. Get away from me. They don't want any connection to the Torah because if you do, then you have to discard all of Paul's letters, Acts, and Hebrew. You have to take half of the Christian New Testament and say, not only wasn't it inspired, it's the antithesis of true. It's deadly. That's a rough position to be in if you're a Christian, but there's no informed or rational way away from it, particularly when the words are translated accurately. Now, the reason Yahusha said, I never knew you, is the only way that you can know Yahweh. And if you don't know Yahweh, you don't know Yahusha. You know, we don't. This idea that you come to know God through Jesus is back-ass words. Yahweh is God. If you don't know Yahweh, there is no way on earth that you have any chance of knowing Yahusha. And if you know Yahweh, you have no need to know Yahusha. Yahweh is the Savior. That's what Yahusha means. But there's no way to know Yahweh, God, apart from the Torah. So if you have separated yourself from the Torah, if you don't value the Torah, if you don't read the Torah, if you don't observe the Torah, if you don't listen to the Torah, and Torah doesn't mean law, it means teaching, it means guidance. If you're not guided by the Torah, you have a 0% possibility of knowing God. You have zero chance of being engaged in a relationship with Him. The only way to know Him, the only way to participate in a relationship with Him is through the Torah's guidance. So if you've discarded the Torah, you don't know God and God doesn't know you. So all of you who go to church, all of you who are affiliated with a religious institution like the Roman Catholic Church, like the Eastern Orthodox Church, like some Protestant church, you are estranged from God. He's speaking to you. I do not know you because you are without the Torah. And, you know, if you're a Christian, you are without the Torah because the basis of the religion is Paul's letters. And Paul's letters are opposed to the Torah. And if you don't know Yahweh and He does not know you, you cannot engage in a relationship with Him. You must be separated from Him. There is very few things that I could tell you that would be more important than what Yahusha is saying here. That if you have separated yourself from the Torah, if you don't consider the Torah's guidance, if the Torah's terms and conditions relative to participating in the covenant are not something that you know, understand, and have responded to, then you have no possibility whatsoever of being saved. You have no possibility of engaging in a relationship with Yahweh. You have 0% chance of entering heaven. God only saves His covenant children. God only has one family. He has one home. And His home and family is based upon His Bereth covenant, of which there is only one. And it's presented only in the Torah, and that is the only place where you will read the terms and conditions for participating. You know, Don, in our conversation a few days ago, said that the thing that finally just dawned on him, where just everything fell into place, was adoption. God is volunteering, encouraging us, asking us, inviting us to be adopted into His covenant family. If you respond to His offer because you've come to know it through the Torah, then you not only are invited into His home, you not only have Him provide for you everything that a loving father of His capacity can provide, which is essentially everything. If that you haven't done these things, then you do not have a relationship with God. You do not know God. You are not saved. You are not invited into heaven. You will be excluded. God's not going to grade on the curve. He's not going to look at the content of your heart. He's not going to consider your church affiliation. He's not going to weigh your good deeds versus your bad deeds in making this determination. You're either a participant in the covenant, you're adopted into the covenant family, of which there's only one. There is no such thing as a renewed covenant. There is no such thing as a New Testament. You're either in the original covenant, the covenant that was created in a relationship between Yahweh and Abraham that is brought to us in the first book of the Torah. You're either a participant in that or you're estranged from God. If you are a participant in that, you can be as rascally as was Doe to David in terms of your behavior. It doesn't matter at that point. Once you're part of the family, God views you as vindicated, as righteous, as which is what he said of David, of Doe, regardless of what you do. What you do is irrelevant, apart from observing the Torah, listening to what Yahweh has to say in terms of his guidance, and then responding, particularly as it relates to the terms and conditions of the covenant. If you are Torahless, and if you're a Christian, you are Torahless, you're excluded from God. That's not my opinion. It's not my interpretation. It's simply what God said. Now, there are multiple reasons that the multitudes here have been sent away, both of which are related, either of which results in being rejected by God. Initially, Yahusha said that he never knew them, which means that the overwhelming preponderance of people don't know him either. If they are involved in a relationship with God, their God is not real. I understand that lots of Christians, just like lots of Muslims, think they have a relationship with their God. That, you know, that Muslims, when they blow themselves to smithereens, scream out, Allahu Akbar, Allah is most great, Allah is greatest. You know, Christians get down and they pray to their imaginary God. They go to church and worship their imaginary God. The problem is that Allah, just like Jesus, isn't God. And so faith and devotion to a false God is worse than being an agnostic or an atheist and thinking there is no God. When God says, at no time was I acquainted with you, it means that such an individual has failed to capitalize on the covenant. No matter what they may have felt, no matter what they may have believed, they were not engaged in a relationship with God. Beyond this, when God says that not even once for a moment did I acknowledge you or understand you, it means that he never heard any of their prayers. And that their opinions, their conclusions regarding him and their religion were incomprehensible. Didn't hear them. And that means that every argument that Christians pose to justify their opposition towards Yahweh's name, their opposition towards Yahweh's Torah, their opposition towards engaging in the old covenant, the old testament, are moot. God isn't interested in them. You can do all the protesting you want to about the Lord, about Jesus, about Christ, about the New Testament, about Paul, about your church. You can continue to spew it out until you're blue in the face. God's not listening to you. He could care less. He doesn't know you. He doesn't understand you. He has no interest in you. You do not know him, and you are not welcome in heaven. It's black and white. This whole presentation has been black and white. No grading on the curve. No, but God will see the content of my heart. No, there is absolutely no wiggle room here. Get away from me, those of you who are without the Torah. I do not know you. I don't understand you. I don't want any part of you. Now, the point Yahusha is making is one that took me a very long time to fully assimilate. But God's position is both simple and reasonable, even necessary. Salvation is only afforded to the children of the covenant. Full stop. If you are not a child of the covenant, if you haven't engaged in that covenant that was introduced by Yahweh in the first book of the Torah to Abraham, then you are not saved. In fact, salvation, which entails becoming immortal, becoming perfected, being adopted, while being enriched and empowered by God, collectively serves as the benefits of the covenant. It would be senseless, even irritating, for God to save those who do not know Him, who hold a contrarian view toward Him. After all, God has to live with those that are saved for all eternity. If you're religious, He thinks you're scum. You think that He wants to bring religious scum? You know, if you're defending your religion, if you're defending Roman Catholicism, God forbid. If you're defending, you know, Protestant Christianity, with Martin Luther and Calvin, God forbid. The last thing God wants to do is have to spend eternity with you. He doesn't want to spend any time with you now. For darn sure He doesn't want to spend eternity with you. He hates religion. Despises it. God damn religion. You know, if you're somebody that's promoting your military as your savior, as the source of your freedom and liberty and defense, God doesn't want any part of you. He knows that's a lie. What do you think He wants to spend eternity with somebody who can be beguiled as easily as you have been if you advocate these positions? You know, if you say, I'm a conservative Republican, I'm a Tea Partier. If you say that I'm a liberal Democrat, that's what defines you. You know, if you think that Barack Hussein Obama has done a good job, if you think that Senator John McClown would have done a better job, God doesn't want your type in His home. You may love yourself. You may surround yourself with lots of like-minded individuals that you think are just swell, that all your little patriots can talk about how wonderful your country is. Well, you're not welcome in God's home. The last thing He wants is to spend His eternity with you. He doesn't even want to spend a moment with you. That's why He says, I never knew you. He's not interested in listening to you now. What makes you think that He'd be willing to spend His eternity with you? You're not dragging religious and political crap into heaven. If you're not willing to let go of those things now, then you aren't going to enter them. We'll be back with Shattering Myths after the commercial break. The point Yosh is making here when he says, I don't know you, I've never known you, get away from me because you are without the Torah, is one that took me a long time to fully assimilate. But God's position, as I say, is both simple, it's reasonable, it's necessary. There is no way whatsoever that God can encourage, can even allow anyone into heaven that hasn't become a member of the covenant. And the reason is that if He allowed religious people into heaven, if He allowed political aspirants into heaven, if He allowed those who are patriotic and celebrate the military into heaven, then all the things that have made earth hell would make heaven hell. And they would go on and on forever. You'd have all the battles, all of the lies, all of the miserable aspects of politics and religion and militarism would just be perpetuated forever in heaven. It wouldn't be any fun for any of us, much certainly not for God. So you might say, well, why does the covenant resolve that problem? It resolves it because the first condition, the prerequisite for engaging in the covenant is to walk away from your country, is to walk away from the influence of religion and politics. That's the first thing Yahweh asked of Abraham. And because that's the prerequisite, 100% of those who are adopted into the covenant family are non-religious. 100% of those who are part of God's covenant family are anti-religious. They're anti-political. They're anti-military. And because they're not just anti those things, they're resolutely pro-Yahweh. Not pro-Yahusha. Not pro-Jesus, most certainly not. Not pro-anything other than the lone source of their trust and reliance is Yahweh. So you've got a family that's going to get to spend eternity together that has these two traits. They have distanced themselves. They have separated from. They have disassociated from religion, politics, and militarism and patriotism. So they're not bringing any of the things that have made life on earth so hellish into God's home. Nor any of the delusions associated with these things, the corruptions, the counterfeits. And second, they all trust and rely on Yahweh, which means they've come to know him. They've come to understand what he's offering. 100% of those who are part of the covenant family know that God has invited us to meet with him 7 times a year, and that these established appointments are to call us out of the world so that we have the opportunity to walk from our polluted planet to his home. Therefore, 100% of those who are in the covenant family know that God loves to party, that he loves to celebrate these kinds of things, that he has invited us to participate, and that the ultimate goal is for us to walk through the doorway of life, across the threshold of perfection, into God's family as adopted children, enriched and empowered by him, which is the purpose of the first 4 Moed Mikre. So that we on Teruah can tell the rest of the world that God has made this offer available to us and that he's calling us out of and away from religion and politics. Also that we can have our relationship with him reconciled. And then the ultimate destination, the purpose of all of this is to Sukkah, is to camp out with him. So all of us are engaged in this active, participatory walk and series of parties with God, because what we want to do, what we enjoy doing now, what we think would be just great for all eternity, is to camp out with God and explore the universe as his children, enriched and empowered by him. That's what we enjoy now. That's what we're looking forward to. That is the makeup entirely of those that are saved. Everyone who is saved has all of those things in common. What's more, if you go to the 4th requirement of the covenant, we all engage in careful observation of close examination, careful consideration of the terms and conditions of the covenant. Because we enjoy getting to know God. We enjoy coming to understand what he's offering. We think that the voyage of discovery that we can participate in through the words that he has provided in his Torah is fun, that it's delightful, that it's uplifting, that it's enriching. And so we're the kind of individuals that are going to enjoy being with him forever. It's what makes heaven heaven, or makes heaven heavenly, to use the noun and adjective. That is what distinguishes those who are part of it and those who are excluded. There is, of course, the 5th requirement of the covenant, and it cuts right to the heart of what's wrong with Christianity. Christianity is based on Gnosticism, the idea that the flesh is evil and the spirit is good. But God is saying, if you're a parent, I want you physically and the flesh to circumcise your sons. And as a man, you are not welcome in God's home unless flesh is circumcised. It's a way of saying there's nothing wrong with the flesh. That Gnosticism is for naught. That Paul's animosity to the covenant precludes you from being part of the family. We need to reject him. It's to understand the role that we play in raising children so that our children choose to be part of the covenant family. But our acknowledgement that there's nothing wrong with the material world. We're going to exist as spiritual beings in a material construct for all eternity. For us to say that the material world is evil, as Paul does, what you're ultimately saying is that the Creator had evil intent, that he was incapable of creating a beneficial physical realm. And if you don't like the material realm, then what fun is eternity going to be when you get to explore for all time the new universe that Yahweh is going to create? After a while, when you think about it, it begins to make sense that the goal should never have been salvation, that the Christian concept of "are you saved" was grossly inappropriate, that God cannot save the religious without making heaven hell, and that salvation is one of many byproducts of participating in the covenant family. And that if God saves his covenant children, then heaven is heavenly. It took me a long time to realize that. I had to think through what God was saying and come to know him. But folks, when you come to that same spot, when you can be as my former Marine, tough as nails, Don, who was part of our program on Friday, and you come to realize that's what it's all about, being adopted. And you get to that point. Then, rather than Yahusha saying, "I never knew you, get away from me," he's going to say, "I've always known you. Come. Enter my home. Your family." And at that point, God's not someone to be feared. God's not a Lord to be obeyed. He's Dad. Your good friend. Your ultimate supporter. He's the social chairman that announced these parties. Loves to have fun. You're going to see God as Dad with a huge big smile on his face. Arms outstretched. Welcome you home. It's the difference. You aren't going to go by some pearly gates with St. Peter standing outside and sweating whether or not you get admitted or not. You will never think about it again. Your admission to heaven will never even cross your mind. The notion of whether or not you're saved, it won't even be part of your vocabulary. Heck, you're part of God's family. You're his kid. He's Dad. Dad's going to take care of you. And the way he's going to take care of you is so much greater than simply saving you. All of a sudden, everything changes. Your eyes are open. Your mind is receptive. The truth is there. The truth was delivered on that hill in Israel nearly 2,000 years ago. Are you willing to consider it? Even when it means you have to reject your religion in the process, will you go where the words lead? The second criterion for exclusion is being anomia, Torahless. These are related concepts because the only place where the terms and conditions of the covenant are presented is in the Torah. If a person is without the Torah, they are estranged from the covenant. And if they aren't participants in the covenant, they cannot enter God's home in heaven because they are neither his children nor saved. Beyond this, Yahusha has just delineated the issue which will define our debate as we go through and examine every word of Paul's letter to the Galatians. According to Yahusha, to reject the Torah is to be rejected by God. But according to Paul, the inverse is true. He writes that a person must reject the Torah to be accepted by God. So who do you suppose is right? Is salvation, as Yahusha just declared it, a product of the covenant relationship and his Torah instructions, or is it as Paul professes, that salvation is a result in distancing oneself from the Torah and believing his message? Since Paul claims to speak on behalf of the individual his letters contradict, how could he be right? Said another way, based upon Yahusha's statement regarding admission into heaven, why would anyone in their right mind believe that Paul was telling the truth? Now, before you consider Yahusha's overall conclusion to his instruction on the Mount, please pause. Reflect on everything that he said, especially relative to the merits and the enduring nature of his Torah. We'll be back in a moment. You know, it's harder on Paul than just the fact that his testimony, his letters, are the antithesis of what Yahusha announced here on the instruction on the Mount. You see, and that's because Paul claims to speak on behalf of the individuals his letters contradict. So, what's the possibility that you can be right if you claim that the individual whose testimony is the opposite of yours is wrong? How can you be inspired by them? You know, it really isn't complicated if you're a Christian. God said that his Torah is good, that his Torah is the means to salvation. Yahusha claimed to be the human manifestation of the Torah, to walk right out of the pages of the Torah. In the Torah, Yahweh says that he's going to put his Torah, his teaching, in Yahusha's mouth. And Paul speaks out against it, says it was nailed to the cross, says that it's cannot save, that it's mean-spirited, that it enslaves, that it's of the flesh. Their positions on Yahweh's Torah are exactly the opposite. So what is the possibility that Paul could be telling the truth, that he was inspired by the God who authored the Torah, when he contradicts the Torah? Folks, it really shouldn't be any more complicated for you than that. The possibility that Paul told the truth and therefore was inspired by God when he claimed that the God who inspired him was incapable of saving through his Torah, was incapable of liberating through his Torah, when God says exactly the opposite, is zero. No chance. You know, and I understand there's a lot of smart people out there that cling to Paul, that thinks Paul's letters were inspired, that they were somehow scripture. There's a zero possibility that could be true. If you are knowledgeable about what God said, what Yahusha said, what Paul said, and you are rational and you compare them, you have to reject Paul. There is no possibility that he told the truth. You know, Thomas Jefferson is famous for having written, Paul was the first to corrupt Yahusha's message. He knew it. Why are there some 3 billion Christians in this world when it's so obvious that the religion is predicated on letters which are dishonest? Here's what Yahusha said next. Everyone, therefore, then, who presently and actively listens to these statements of mine, and he or she acts upon them, they will be likened to a wise individual who edifies and strengthens his or her house upon the rock. Ooh, powerful here. But you see, that's the problem with Christians. Christians think that they have a religion that's based upon Christ, even though there was no Christ. They think that their religion is about following Jesus, even though there was no Jesus. The Christian religion was created to be completely disjointed, to be completely and utterly removed from Yahusha, from Yahweh, from the Torah, from Yisrael, from Jerusalem, from Hebrew. And Yahusha is saying just the opposite, that you need to be wholly disassociated from these kinds of religions to be engaged with him. And so he's telling you, if you listen to him, as opposed to listening to Paul, as opposed to listening to your church, then you're wise. But Christians won't do that. You can cite Yahusha's testimony until you're blue in the face regarding the Torah, regarding who he is, why he came. You can tell people that he was Torah observant and that the Torah was in his mouth and that he spoke Hebrew and that he is nothing more, nothing less than a diminished manifestation of Yahweh, and that his name, Yahusha, actually points to Yahweh, who is our Savior. You can tell Christians what Yahusha said, and they won't listen to it. They'll just turn right back to Paul. But if you will listen to him, then you'll be listening to Yahweh. If you do listen to him, then you'll be wise. If you do listen to him, then your house will be built on rock. It will be grounded because your house is now Yahweh's house. Your family is now the covenant. And it was established on the rock of our salvation. It was built upon bedrock. It never changes. It's never going away. It is forever. We'll be with you tomorrow.